This is Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow. Joining me again this week is Bill Nye. Good to have you back, Bill.
It's so good to be back.
Now, I know that you spend time up there on Capitol Hill, talking to people up there. Do you ever run into any engineers like yourself?
Like myself, perhaps not, but there are a few.
It's probably because out of their 438 representatives in the House, only six are engineers. There are about three dozen representatives total that have any type of science background. And my next guest is one of the two physicists in the House, and he's retiring from Congress. Rush Holt, Democrat from Jersey's 12th District, former assistant director of the Princeton Plasma Physics Lab. He's here in our CUNY studios. Welcome back to Science Friday.
Ira, it's always good to be with you.
I remember we had you on before you were even a congressperson.
True.
Tell us about your experience. Can you sum it up for us? Was it disappointing? Was it refreshing? How would you sum it up?
Well, I believe to this day that the U.S. Congress is the greatest instrument in the world for justice and human welfare. But there are frustrations every day, and in recent years, those frustrations have been greater and more frequent. But that's not why I'm not standing for another term. No, it's all for optimistic and positive reasons, looking forward to other things to do.
Mm-hmm. What about the Office of Technology Assessment, OTA? I remember that was brought in, and then what, Newt Gingrich did away with it?
The Office of Technology Assessment was a support organization for Congress, like the Congressional Budget Office, like the Congressional Research Service, the Government Accountability Office. It was around for about 25 years. Mm-hmm. And in a, a fit of cost savings, it was removed. And it wasn't just cost savings. There was a certain amount of ideology there. They said, don't tell us what we don't want to know.
And, whereas there is the Office of Science and Technology Policy.
That's part of the administration.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the EPA, of course, employs scientists, and the U.S. Geological Survey and NASA and NOAA. And so there is some scientific expertise in Washington, but not much on Capitol Hill.
Well, that seemed to me so frustrating. Don't confuse us with the facts, is what you're saying.
So this is, okay, we all like to complain about the current situation. Everybody, if I can use the term just to keep you as a journalist, Ira, everybody on my side of, let's say, climate change likes to complain. And I think we have reason to. But let me ask you this, Mr. Holt, Dr. Holt.
Rush.
Let me ask
Bill,
you this.
Bill, you and I are friends.
Is there a technique? Have you thought about what we're going to do once the climate deniers are overwhelmed? When we go, okay, everything's fine. You were part of the skeptic conversation. Thanks so much for challenging us and making us accountable. Now that we've all agreed, let's move forward. How are we going to do that? Have you given that any thought?
Sure. It's too important not to deal with, and so we have to think about how we're going to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, how to embrace these people that were on the other side. Yeah.
Despite the fact that there are real impediments now. And what's missing in this debate now is the ability to start with any single set of facts from which we can depart for the discussion and debate. We can't not agree on any set of facts. And, I realize philosophers will debate what you mean by facts, but agreed upon established understanding of how glaciers work, how the atmosphere circulates, how oceans work, and so forth. And that's lacking. And the Office of Technology Assessment is symbolic of that. When it was abolished in 1995, as part of the contract with America, by the way.
Mm-hmm. That was where we shut down the government the first time?
It was related to that. It was at that in that era. As recently as a couple of weeks ago, I tried to revive it.
Right.
And some people—
Really?
Who were, yes, and voted down. This organization did lots of really good things over the years. Reports, when it was abolished, it was working on such things as healthcare and the internet. It was working on such things as electronic surveillance in a democracy.
Pressure. It was all pressure.
It was working on oil spill cleanups in the ocean.
Well, it was good that we abolished it because that never came up the last 20 years. None of those things.
And some people said to me, well, we've already done some things in Congress for scientists, so we don't need to do this. And I said, no, this isn't for scientists. This is especially for the people who aren't scientists, so they can understand the scientific aspects of all of these policy issues in front of us.
How much did that thing cost me as a taxpayer a year? The Office of Technology Assessment, right? OTA?
It was about $35-40 million a year, something like that.
Paperclip. So you don't feel that frustration?
I do.
Yeah. I mean, you don't sound optimistic about breaking through, having science and critical thinking breaking through members of Congress. Finding the common ground that you're at.
Yeah, climate change is a particularly frustrating and difficult issue because this problem is worse in that area. I mean, people have fallen into ideological camps.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, some of the opponents, some of the deniers are indeed religious. So this is a matter of faith.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them are motivated by other reasons to deny it. But the denial is so strong, and the approach of those of us who believe that there is climate change and it must be dealt with have been guilty on the other side of not approaching it in the right way, kind of asserting facts just as they deny the facts.
So
we don't have a debate that is based. In other words, we will say, look, 97 out of 100 scientists believe this is happening. Well, I mean, it shouldn't be an opinion poll. Not how many scientists are there that support this, but rather, well, what are the observations that we can agree on? What are the facts that we can agree on?
Is there a feeling in Congress that, among congressmen, that there's an anti-intellectual, anti-science feeling in general?
Well, there always has been in America a thread of anti-intellectualism. It is usually not dominant. It has grown a little bit recently.
Can you provide evidence of that always? You mean like a couple centuries? Or just when you've been in your father?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, you can find it in American literature. Mm-hmm. You can find it in the congressional record debate of the 19th century where people would say, you know, I remember Senator Moynihan, who was not necessarily anti-science, but he once said, I would rather be governed by the first 500 names in the Boston phone book than by the Harvard faculty.
Right.
In other words, there's this populist thread that is a little bit anti-intellectual.
So is there any impetus for a scientist to go into Congress?
I mean, as I said, this is one of the greatest instruments in the world for human welfare and justice.
I still believe even though the government, you know, the public rates at like 9% favorability. And
you know,
well, that I think is because it's become dysfunctional, or it's dysfunctional right now. And that's what people are complaining about rather than conservative or progressive.
But do you think that it can become more functional?
Yes. And you know, the best guide is history.
Mm-hmm.
The United States has gone through tough times in lots of ways over its two-century history. Mm-hmm. And the people always have gotten the government back on track. They've come to believe in the government. I mean, after all, this was a union that we set up. We didn't set up a constitution to say, oh, you're on your own. We set up a constitution because there were things we could do better together than separately. The people have always gotten things on track.
I'm running out of time. And this is being an election year. What do you think that people should ask a science question of in these elections? They're in their congressional district, their congressman's running, there's a debate going on. What question of science should they ask their politicians?
You know, how can you demonstrate that you have an open mind? That's based, you know, what we want is scientific thinking, not so that we can have a checklist of what facts are true or false, but so that we know how to think. And this applies to policymakers, as well as consumers and everyone else, but especially for policymakers. How can you demonstrate that you will look at the evidence on whatever issue it is that you're talking
loaded,
about?
Though, Rush. It sounds like a loaded question.
But is there an answer they could say that they could really say that I will demonstrate it by doing X, Y?
Or demonstrated it.
Yeah, I mean, choose your issue, whatever it is, whether it's healthcare or economics. I mean, can ask the person to demonstrate why they think economics is an empirical science where you can actually look at evidence rather than starting with an ideology and ending with that same ideology.
Is there something
or healthcare and vaccination of children or education? I mean, how can you show that educational data testing, will guide your thinking about how kids can get ahead?
So, Rush, is there an example in your career where you've changed your mind? You've 180'd on something.
Yes,
are open-minded and able to.
I got about 30 seconds.
Evidence. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the Patriot Act. I voted for the first Patriot Act because it was not clear that we didn't have terrorists in every town in America, and it became clear we didn't.
Mm-hmm. In about 30 seconds, where are you going to be doing now? Do you know what you're going to be doing?
You know, I'm wide open. Whether it's something academic or in government. It was after 8 terms in Congress, 16 years. It's time to move on for the sake of my constituents as well as me.
Good luck to you, Congressman Rush Holt of New Jersey.